we often think about state lines. Well, you know, like there's hard boundaries, right?
Yeah.
But when it comes to things that states have to share, like natural resources, especially water,
right?
Those lines can get, well, kind of blurry.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Sometimes those lines are the ones drawn in big court battles. And that's what we're diving into today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we're talking about like the big cases that, you know, kind of shaped how we deal with water fights between states.
Right.
You got to look at Kansas v. Colorado way back in 1907.
That's a big one, right?
Huge.
Yeah.
This isn't just some like dusty old case in the history books. This is like, this is the case that set the rules for when Supreme Court has to jump in and be the referee.
Right.
Between two states that are fighting over the same river.
It's like the OG case for a whole area of law, you know?
Exactly.
And what's so interesting is that what they decided back then, over a century ago, it still matters today.
Hmm.
Like we see it in modern water disputes all the time.
All the time.
So today, what we're doing is we're going to really understand this this landmark case.
Yeah.
We're going to break it down and see how the Supreme Court tries to balance, you know, what each state needs and what their rights are when they both rely on the same water.
Right.
But it's tough because you have one state that's, you know, trying to grow and develop.
Yeah.
But the other state is saying, hey, wait, we were here first, you know?
We have rights.
Yeah, exactly. So to really get this Kansas v. Colorado thing, okay, we got to think about the map for a second.
Okay.
Picture this. We got the Arkansas River, starts in Colorado, flows east into Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, right?
Right.
It's a natural connection.
It connects them, yeah.
They share this resource.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Whatever Colorado does upstream,
uh-huh,
it affects Kansas downstream, you know?
Makes sense, yeah.
So that's where the problem starts.
The drama.
Late 1800s, Colorado's going through this irrigation boom.
Oh, yeah.
Farmers are diverting water from the Arkansas like crazy. They're turning dry land into farms, big farms.
Yeah.
Colorado's economy, it's booming.
Mm-hmm.
But all that water they're taking, that means a lot less water flowing into Kansas.
Way less, yeah.
And that's where these two totally different legal ideas clash,
yes,
right? Colorado, they're working with this prior appropriation idea. You know, it's like first come, first serve.
Yep.
Basically, whoever starts using the water first, they get the best claim to it. Doesn't matter if their land even touches the river.
Yeah.
And this system, it really helped the West grow, you know, because it let people use water even in dry areas.
Absolutely.
Now, Kansas, they were using a much older system.
Riparian rights.
Riparian rights. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And this system is all about who owns the land next to the river.
Mm-hmm.
So if your land is right there on the Arkansas River in Kansas, well, you have a right to the water flowing by just naturally.
Right. Because it's yours.
So you see the problem. Colorado's taking tons of water, maybe miles from the river. Kansas is saying, hold up, that water should be flowing past our land.
It's a recipe for a fight.
The legal showdown, yeah. So the Supreme Court, they have to answer a really big question. Did Colorado taking all that water, did it really hurt Kansas so much that the court had to step in?
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Was Colorado getting rich at the expense of its neighbor?
Right.
And their first answer, it might surprise you, was no.
Really?
They said, no, Kansas, we're dismissing your complaint.
Oh.
But, and this is important, they didn't completely shut Kansas down.
Okay.
See, they admitted that Colorado using so much water did mean less water for Kansas.
They couldn't deny that, right.
Right. But they said, we don't think Kansas has been hurt enough yet.
Yet. That's interesting.
It's like they were saying, hey, we see there's an impact, but it's not a disaster yet.
Right, right.
And their reasoning, it was all about balancing, you know?
Okay.
They said that the good things happening in Colorado, all those farms and that economic growth,
yeah,
it was more important than what Kansas was losing, at least for now.
So it was a close call, but they sided with Colorado.
Yeah. In 1907, Colorado won.
Yeah. Interesting.
But this case, it was a turning point because it gave us this really important legal concept, equitable apportionment.
That's a mouthful.
It is.
Yeah.
But this is like the key takeaway from Kansas v. Colorado. Okay. Equitable apportionment. It's basically this legal idea the Supreme Court uses to split up the right to use water when a river or a lake, you know, flows across state lines.
So it's not just about like drawing a line down the middle.
No, it's not about being perfectly equal.
Okay.
It's about what's fair. What's fair in each specific situation.
I see. So it's case by case.
Yeah, exactly. And what's so cool about it is that the court looks at all these different things.
Oh, like what?
Well, they look at how each state benefits and also how each state is hurt by how the water is being used. they think about the best way to use the water, you know, to make it last.
So like not wasting it.
Right. And here's the best part. It's flexible.
Yeah.
It can change as things change.
Ah, so it's not set in stone forever.
Nope. Because water needs change over time.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
So when the court gave its big decision in Kansas v. Colorado, Justice Brewer, he wrote it and he said, yeah, Kansas, we get it. You have been hurt by what Colorado's doing.
Okay.
But then he goes on to say that Colorado's projects, those irrigation systems, they were just too important for the whole West. They were essential.
Right. Developing the West was a big deal back then.
Huge. But then Justice Brewer goes on and he talks about this this need for what he called interstate common law.
Interstate common law. What's that?
Basically, he's saying there's no single federal law that says, like, here's how to solve water fights between states.
Uh-huh.
So the Supreme Court, they had to step up and make some rules. They had to figure out how to handle these fights between states, you know?
Like creating a whole new system.
Yeah. And it wasn't just about the Arkansas River. This was about setting a precedent.
Ah, so like a model for the future.
Exactly. The Supreme Court became the referee for water fights, even though that's not something that's like written in the Constitution. They decided it was necessary, you know, for the whole country to work.
So they made it up as they went along, basically. Interesting.
And this idea of interstate common law, it's really important, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because it means the Supreme Court has this special power. They can step in and settle things between states, even though each state is like its own little country in a way.
It's like they're dealing with separate nations.
Exactly. And then there were these two other justices, Justice White and Justice McKenna. They agreed that Kansas's complaint should be dismissed, but they had this warning for Colorado.
A warning, huh? What'd they say?
They were worried that if Colorado just kept taking more and more water, things could get really bad for Kansas down the line.
So they were like, be careful, Colorado.
Yeah, basically they said, look, we're letting this go for now, but we're watching you, Colorado. If things get out of hand, Kansas, come back to us and we'll deal with it.
Oh, so they left the door open for future problems.
Exactly. It's like this underlying tension, you know?
Right. It's not over yet.
Yeah, this legal battle, it wasn't settled for good. Now, if we look at this from a constitutional perspective,
okay,
the court's power to even hear this case, it comes from a part of the Constitution called the Necessary and Proper Clause.
The Necessary and Proper Clause, right.
This clause basically says Congress and the courts, too, they can make laws that are, well, necessary to do the things the government is supposed to do, like keeping the peace between states.
Ah, it's all about making the country function.
Exactly. And the way the court handles these water fights, some people call it quasi-international.
Quasi-international. That's a fancy word.
It is. But what it means is that these are fights between states, which are like sovereign entities, mm-hmm. but they're all part of one country.
So it's like international law, but within the U.S.
Yeah, it's kind of unique. And the thing is, the story of the Arkansas River, it didn't end in 1907.
Oh, I bet not.
All the back and forth between Kansas and Colorado, it finally led to this agreement, the Arkansas River Compact.
The Compact, yeah.
That was in 1949. Basically, they sat down, Kansas, Colorado, the federal government too, and they hammered out this agreement on how to share the water.
So they tried to make things more official and avoid future fights.
Yeah, they realized they had to compromise and play by the same rules.
Makes sense.
But even with the compact, the disagreements, they didn't completely go away.
Really?
Yeah. Flash forward to 1995, and the Supreme Court's back in the picture again.
Wow, the Arkansas River is back at it again.
This time, they said Colorado was breaking the compact. They were pumping too much groundwater.
Ah, I see.
Which was connected to the river, and that was messing up the flow into Kansas.
Sneaky, sneaky.
It took until 2009, over 100 years after that first case, for everything to finally settle down.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows you, these water fights, they can drag on and on.
They get complicated.
And they get messy. But the thing is, this equitable apportionment idea, the one that came out of Kansas v. Colorado,
yeah,
it's still the main legal rule for these water disputes between states today.
So it's still relevant.
Oh, absolutely. And we see it in recent cases, too, like Wyoming v. Colorado just last year, 2022.
Wow. So over a century later, and it's still the go-to rule.
This framework, it's so important for navigating these complicated situations. And it's only getting more important as climate change makes water even more scarce.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole other layer of complexity.
So all of this, it brings up some really interesting questions.
Like what?
Well, when we look back at that first decision back in 1907, was it right for the court to let Colorado keep developing, even though it hurt Kansas? You know, especially when we see the long-term consequences.
That's a good question.
And how do we even decide what substantial harm means you know?
Yeah.
Especially now that the environment is so important.
Right. That definition might need to evolve.
Exactly. And finally, what can we learn from all this, from this whole 100-year fight over the Arkansas River?
Yeah, what does it teach us?
What does it teach us about how we solve environmental problems that go beyond just one state?
Those are tough questions.
They are, but they're important. And they make us realize that Kansas v. Colorado, it wasn't just some old case. It still matters today, especially when we think about how states share or maybe fight over natural resources in our world.
It makes you think.
It really does. Mm.